This past June, we commemorated the 75th anniversary of the D-Day landing at Normandy. I enjoyed reading some of the accounts of the veterans who are still alive. One that really touched me was written by a Robert Levine, a Jewish young man who at age 19 was in that D-Day invasion. About a month later, so in July of 1944, they were continuing to push against the Germans. He was injured by a grenade explosion, which injured his leg severely, captured by the Germans, and then taken to a field hospital, which was a farmhouse. There, the German doctor, Dr. Voll, W-O-L-L, Voll, looked at him, examined his condition, and then looked at his dog tags. And on the dog tags, he saw written Robert Levine, private, and so on. But then he saw the letter H. And he said, "What is the H?" And Robert Levine said, "Hebrew. In those days, your dog tags had P for Protestant, C for Catholic, H for Hebrew." And Robert Levine thought, "I will never see my 20th birthday." Well, he went through anesthesia. The next day, he awoke. He found a note in his pocket from Dr. Voll, and Dr. Voll simply said, "I had to amputate your right leg. Your ankle was shattered. Your bone was fractured. There was shrapnel. But I did give you penicillin," which was a new antibiotic at the time, "sulfa drugs, and vaccinated you against gangrene." He also noticed his dog tags were missing. So Robert Levine realized this German doctor of the Wehrmacht saved his life twice. He saved his medical situation, but he also saved him from going to the Jewish concentration camp for prisoners of war, Berge, where most of the Jewish prisoners of war were worked to death. Yes, the German doctor saved this Jewish private's life twice. Well, when I read that, I thought immediately of our gospel passage today about the Good Samaritan. So let's look at the scripture. The scholar of the law comes to Jesus to test him. And he says, "Which is the great commandment? What do I need to do to inherit everlasting life?" Well, Jesus said, "How do you read it?" And the scholar replied with the two great commandments, one taken from Deuteronomy, one from Leviticus: love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. But then the scholar wanted to justify himself and asked, "Who's my neighbor?" Well, a good Jew would expect another good Jew to answer, "The Jew is your neighbor. You don't have to fool with those enemies, the Gentile pagans. The Jew is your neighbor." So instead of giving a direct answer, our Lord takes him through a parable that's a story meant to shock someone into a deeper understanding of how God wants us to live life. So he talks about this journey of a man who was going from Jerusalem down to Jericho, a 20-mile journey. It goes along a Roman road that still is there, and it is winding, treacherous. It descends 3,600 feet from Jerusalem to Jericho. Along the side of the mountain are all these crevices and caves and so on. Quite frankly, having been on a tour bus on that road at night, it is frightening when you see the cliff there and so on. So one could see robbers would be there. So the robbers attack this poor man, rob him, leave him for dead. And then come along, first the priest, then the Levite, who's like what we would call a deacon in our church. Keep in mind that the Jewish priesthood was ancestral. It was hereditary. And so a family would have maybe 1 week of the year to go to the temple to do their priestly functions, offering the sacrifices and so on. So if this priest and this Levite came in contact with a dead person, or even with human blood, that would render them unclean for 7 days, meaning they would not be able to enter the temple area and perform their duties. so they passed by. Well, if we recounted that in today's world, probably Jesus would say they were on their cell phones and so they passed by. They didn't even notice the guy. But either way, they had their agenda, their mission, and there they were. But then comes the Samaritan. And as we heard, the Samaritan dresses the wounds, places the man on his beast, takes him to the inn, pays for the care, and promises to pay whatever is needed when he returns. And the key is, he was a Samaritan. Jews hated Samaritans, and vice versa. Samaria was the area above Jerusalem. About 700 years before our Lord, those Jewish people had intermarried with the Assyrians, taking on some of their pagan practices. So the good Jerusalem Jew considered the Samaritan Jew unclean, untouchable. Remember, 2 weeks ago, the Samaritans did not welcome Jesus and the apostles as they passed through. There's this animosity. So our Lord then asks the question, who was the one? Who was the neighbor? And the scholar can't even say the name Samaritan. He simply says, the one who treated him with mercy. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. Well, my brothers and sisters, our Lord is telling us that if we're going to bear the name of Christ, we have to do what is right in God's eyes for everyone. We have to live by God's truth, these commandments, and then apply that truth and act in a just way for everyone. Because when we do that, if we live by truth and strive to act with justice, then we'll bring about peace in this world and we'll find joy in our lives and help bring joy in the lives of others, just as the Samaritan did to this Jew who had fell victim to the robbers. We live in a wounded world. You and I know that. Look at the news. A wounded world. When we think of then this wounded man, we could think of ourselves. We're wounded, victims of original sin. But we can also see Jesus. He's wounded because of our sins. So ask yourself, do you live in a way that helps bring the healing, or does it help bring the woundedness about in this world? Again, we could look at the news. When we think of last year, marking the anniversary of that tragic event in Charlottesville, where there was a protest, legal protest, and yet some man who disagreed took his car, ran into the crowd, killing one person, injuring others. Woundedness. And it brings about woundedness. Or last year, Kellyanne Conway was refused service at a restaurant in Lexington, Virginia, because she worked for the president. That's woundedness. And it brings about woundedness. Or even in our own neighborhood last year, someone pops the finger to the president he's driving by. Where's the mercy? Where's the compassion? We're called to do better. As Christians, we're called to do what's right in the eyes of God for everyone. To do that means starting our day with prayer. I would encourage you, when you're getting up in the morning, maybe you're shaving like I do, or maybe getting fixed up in another way, or you have a special prayer time, recite to yourself these commandments. Today I will love God with my whole heart, mind, and soul, love my neighbor as myself. Or even think of the Ten Commandments that explicate these. I will honor God as God. I will not take God's name in vain. I'll keep holy the Sabbath, and meaning, I'll try to make this day holy by my actions. I will love my neighbor, because I will not kill, but will respect human life and respect the dignity of each person. I will not commit adultery. I'll respect the sanctity of human sexuality, not just in deed, but in word, how I talk. Respect the sanctity of marriage and family life. I will not steal. I'm not going to treat someone dishonestly in any action. I will not lie. I'm going to be truthful. I'm not going to covet neighbor's wife, neighbor's good, but be grateful for what I have. Just think, if we did that each day, we'd be more mindful of being like that good Samaritan who would be more compassionate towards others. And we could add on then corporal works of mercy, spiritual works of mercy, to care to heal the wounds that are physical and spiritual in our world today. So we think about this and we begin our day. And in our day might mean driving on the road, could be going to the office, going to the school, going to the Giant store, like for myself, the good old Giant store. Every week, Monday, I do my mom's grocery shopping for the week. And periodically, every 2 weeks, I'll go up to our local Giant store. Oftentimes, I'm in my priestly self, and so people will say hello now and then. I run into parishioners, especially at Cascades. It's a good time to talk. It's an amazing amount of business I get done at the Giant store. And, of course, they're always interested to see what's in my basket, too. You know, what is the priest buying? But there's always ways to help. It's incredible. I was once asking the butcher for something for my mom, and the butcher's name was Joseph. And I said, oh, Joseph. And he said, yes. And he said, are you a Catholic priest? I said, yes, I am. And he said, I'm Syrian Orthodox. Then he said, Father, would you please pray for my family in Syria because they've been displaced due to ISIS? I said, I would. And then once I was going down the aisle, and there was a lady, an elderly lady, just staring. So I said, can I help you? She said, yes. Could you reach that for me? I said, sure. I'm 6'3". Why not? Or then once I was in the wine section seeing what was on sale, and this lady said, are you a Catholic priest? I said, yes. And she said, well, you know a lot about wine, don't you? I said, well, Yeah, I do. Jesus turned water into wine, so it goes with the job. And she said, well, do you like this? What do you think about this wine? I said, well, I think it's very good myself. And I said, what church do you go to? And she said, well, I'm looking for a church. I said, well, go to Our Lady of Hope, Cascades Algonquin. There we are, and so on. And then once I was checking out at the register, and one of the clerks said, Father, could you bless me? I did. But you know what? That's how we're called to live, with our eyes open, treating people as we would treat Christ. It's not easy, but in that simple way, then, we bring about a healing in this world and joy and peace in our own lives. At the end of the day, we could ask ourselves, just as Jesus asked, did I treat everyone with mercy today? Go back to our story, Robert Levine. Well, 32 years after World War II, he went to Normandy. So this is 1981, I think, something like that. But anyway, so he goes back. No, it wouldn't be. It's 76. 1976, he goes back to visit the Normandy beaches with his family, and he looks up Dr. Vole, and he finds where he lives, makes contact, talks to his wife. Dr. Vole had died in 1956. But they went to visit Mrs. Vole, and they had a family gathering. So now Dr. Vole's kids are towards adulthood. They have also newborns and so on. But anyway, here they have a dinner. And one of the sons of Dr. Vole stood up at the dinner, raised his glass, and said, Robert, I toast you, because without you and your comrades, we would all be saying Heil Hitler today. What great healing. And they kept in contact. Later on, Dr. Vole's two girls, well, actually his two granddaughters, would visit the United States, and they stayed with the Levines for like a summer education program, and vice versa. And to this day, they're still in contact. So my brothers and sisters, there's our ministry. Our ministry is not to bring about woundedness, but to bring healing. And so our Lord tells us to treat others with mercy, and he commands us, go and do likewise. May God bless you.